Thanks to Stanford Jennings for joining us. He played 9 years in the NFL, 7 with the Bengals. Stanford, thanks for joining us.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
Stanford, I'm going to obviously talk about what has happened in the news and unfortunate news we found out earlier in the week with Sam Wyche passing away. Can you just talk about the relationship you had with your former coach?
Well, it was certainly a special relationship, certainly with the with our Furman connection, being drafted by the Cincinnati Bengals and, Sam's first year there with the Bengals, and we kind of had that Furman connection from the start. And certainly knew of Sam, prior to coming in the league. Sam's certainly a legend at Furman, and certainly with his, the coaching that he's done, and being a part of the San Francisco Super Bowl team back in '81. And so it was certainly a great honor and kind of connection, to kind of have. Coming into the league and being a part of the Cincinnati Bengals back in '84, Sam's first year.
And a lot of Bengals fans remember the 93-yard touchdown that you just took to the house. And those images, they're everywhere when it's Super Bowl weekend and when we see that run back from you. And one of the first people you see on the sidelines is Sam Wyche. Do you remember anything that he told you during that time of that Super Bowl game?
Well, I mean, the first thing he called out was, my daughter, who was born the day before, certainly he knew Kelsey's name, and, the day before, that Saturday night, following the that critical time with Stanley, prior to that, we're able to kind of view my daughter there with the team, on the, on a feed from, I think, Channel 5 at that time. So, He certainly knew how special that was, that Saturday night, and to do that run and do that touchdown, there at the Super Bowl. And, that's one of the first things that, certainly kind of came to his mind. He knew it was, did that for Kelsey. So it was certainly very touching.
You mentioned your daughter, and that moment, that Super Bowl moment, really created a connection with you and your daughter. You gave her the game ball. Is that correct?
Yeah, so it's here at the house, and it's her. So we have our special little connection, it's kind of one of many that we have. Not to fight my son anymore, but love my son just the same. We always kid him. So.
No, that's great. That special moment that Sam Wyche, he's definitely talked you up even after the playing days. Did you guys keep a relationship off the field?
Yes, we're still very close. We were did a lot of functions with Furman. Like I said, I'm currently on the board at Furman, and then throughout the years, and Sam was living very close there in Pickens, close to Greenville, and both he and Jane are Furman graduates, and they were just, really loved the university, loved the community, and they were very connected with Furman. And, Sam was doing basically color for the commentary for the Furman football team. So he was, very involved, engaged. Again, he was a Furman legend, and we really just, very proud of what he represented as a person, as a coach, and how he represented the university.
A lot of people call Sam an innovator when you look at the football world and creating the no-huddle offense. I know how the NFL felt about it. They weren't super happy about it. But as one of his players, what was going through your guys' mind when he's like, we're doing the no-huddle?
Well, Sam was such the innovator, and he was very, he enrolled us, and we were just very engaged in the process. So we certainly kind of took ownership with it, given the fact that he was, presenting these things to us, and his staff, and we were, really kind of enrolled in the overall process, and being able to give feedback and things in that regard. And, whether there's, certain calls that may have a certain tie to it, whether it be personal to a player or what have you, but it was all those types of things that kind of went into the overall ingredients of that. And, you know, naturally, I think from an innovation standpoint, you know, Sam was very creative. And, you know, there were things that, you know, let's say we I guess, pushed the rules, or we kind of, you know, went right up to the levels of the rules. And I think that was just, you know, due to looking at things a different way, the different approaches. And Sam, I think with that, you know, through that creativity, you know, there were things that we were able to kind of take advantage of. And it's just pretty interesting that, you know, the game today is almost like, you know, everyone's doing that in some type of form. And you know, it was just a special time back then when you had, you know, looking back from an offensive standpoint, you know, Sam, kind of what he brought from a creative standpoint. And then even on the defensive side, you know, with Dick LeBeau, and kind of what he brought with regards to, on the defensive side of it. So it was, we had just a tremendous team and you know, number of coaches there, and Sam was, you know, certainly our leader.
A lot of people talk about his infamous quote, "You don't live in Cleveland, you live in Cincinnati." Were you surprised to see him pick up the mic?
Yes. During a game, and you've got a head coach that runs across the field to go and grab the mic. But, you know, it's one of the things that was just so Sam, too. You know, it's surprised but not surprised. I guess that's how I would say it.
Is there a story that sticks out to you from your playing days with him besides the Super Bowl time?
You know, there's just a number of stories, and it's probably just, you know, too many to tell here, but I think that, you know, just in kind of the recent events that challenges that he was faced with, it's just the sense of humor that he just never lost that. I mean, it was just incredible. You know, man facing the challenging times that he has, and he still, you know, was interested in, you know, how you felt, you know, making you feel good, and you know, just the overall you know, sense of humor, and then also just really trying to, I think, almost teach and still teach, you know, whether it's giving testimonial as to, you know, here's what's happened to me, here's how it cannot happen to you, or, you know, different, you know, being an advocate for, you know, all of the different things. You know, it was when he did his, you know, for the homeless there, and also, you know, the owning organ donor, you know, all those types of things. Those are the things that kind of, just from a recent standpoint, just to remember, those are kind of the stories that just really sticks with me from just being how profound of a person, you know, that he was, and just really just a generous person.
Former Bengal Stanford Jennings joins us, and I have one last thing. When you think of Sam Wyche, and you had great stories and definitely some major moments in Bengals history with the head coach, how do you think he should be remembered?
I mean, he's one of the two coaches that took the Bengals, you know, to the Super Bowl. Certainly from that lens, you know, that's a great feat. You know, that's something that you, it's certainly tough to get to that level. I think that the innovation, you know, during that, his time, I think the innovation and the creativity that he brought to the game, you know, I think there's certainly still, you know, that DNA is still kind of in the league today as it becomes such a passing team. I think that he, was a great teacher, you know, throughout his years, and certainly being an offensive player, he was a offensive-minded coach and a, you know, a player's coach. You know, there were things that I just know that he made me a better player. Like I said, just from an overall understanding the game, you know, very trusting in his players. You know, I just think that he certainly will, you know, go down as certainly a special person, you know, within Cincinnati. That's kind of what he represented for the, you know, for the city and, you know, for the team. And, you know, I think that, he did well.
Thank you so much, Stanford. I really appreciate you taking time to join us.
You're very welcome. Thank you, Lindsay.
Thanks to Stanford Jennings for joining us. Next, we have Solomon Wilcox, former player for the Bengals, 1987 to 1990. Solomon, a lot of emotion yesterday when you heard your former coach, Sam Wyche, passed away. What was going through your mind?
You know, I just, had a lot of memories in terms of how he treated me. You know, they said what you remember most about people is how they made you feel. And I know he made me feel rather special. I remember as an 8th-round pick coming in as a rookie to that first rookie mini camp. And I remember before I flew back to Boulder, Colorado, he pulled me in his office and he says, "Hey, I know you were taking in the 8th-round. You're an 8th-round pick, but you're much better than that." He said, "You're going to have every chance to make this team, and that's all any rookie could ever hope for." And I just remember leaving there as if I were on cloud nine. So he made me feel really good about the impression that I made on him. And Sam wasn't afraid to let people know how he felt, and he wasn't afraid to make people feel good.
Do you have a story that was on the field, your playing days, that really sticks out to you from playing under him?
The one that sticks out the most, because I tell this to a lot of people, because it just shows you both sides of Sam. We were 6-0 in 1988, and we're going out to play the New England Patriots, Doug Flutie, and they end up beating us. You know, they snapped our consecutive wins of 6 games, and then when we get back, he just ripped that Monday morning. He ripped into the secondary because we had these SWAT team posters. We just did this photo shoot. And that was the week we had wore our sweatshirts on the road. And he was like, "These SWAT team guys, I don't want to see another poster around here. I want to see another t-shirt. I don't want anything about the SWAT team." I mean, he just ripped. And so as the season went on, we ended up beating Seattle in that first playoff game, and he, on that Monday morning, he would say to us, "This SWAT team, you know what, guys, these are the spoils of victory. This is what it's all about. Do all the photo shoots you want, you know, make all the posters you want. This is what it's all about. It's about winning. This is what it's all about." So 1 minute, he took you in the butt. The next minute, he was stroking you, making you feel good, and he kind of gave you a little bit of everything, but he was not only that, but he was a very innovative coach as well.
Yeah, definitely, with a no-huddle offense and pushing the lines with the league when it comes to no-huddle. But, of course, I have to talk about some famous moments under Sam Wyche. I mean, Cincinnati Bengals fans will always remember him, a coach that took the teams to the Super Bowl, and you guys came within 34 seconds of winning it. What do you remember about that game, and what did Coach tell you after it was over?
You know, I can't remember what his speech was to us because we were so heartbroken. You know, I just remember coming off the field because we had to send in a special play and we were expected to double on Jerry Rice. I was expected to be in on that play, but for some reason, Ray Horton came in the game. I came out. Next thing you know, a few plays later, bang, bang, game's over. I'm like, what just happened? And I kind of felt like, you know, I was robbed of my moment, you know. And I just kind of feel like maybe things could have ended differently. I know that, you know, we played a heck of a game. And all you have to do is just look at what San Francisco did to all the other teams they played in the Super Bowl. They blew them out. They scored 50 on, I think they scored almost 50 on Miami in one win. They scored 50 on the Broncos the very next year after they beat us. Scored 50 on the San Diego Chargers. They never scored that on us. So, I just felt like we were made to win that game. And for whatever reason, it didn't happen. And, it's one of those things that we still live with to this day. But we just thank one another for providing the opportunity to play in that game and to go out and compete against the best.
Did you think it was going to be the last time the Cincinnati Bengals made a Super Bowl?
No, I thought we'd do it every next year. I remember Sam, the ring I got put on my middle finger, not my ring finger. And he said, "Well, why did you get it on that one?" I said, "Because when we go back to another one. I'll get the one when we win. I'll get it on the other finger. And he was going, well, you don't get her every year, because it was just my second year. Got to the league, second year, you have a Super Bowl. Figure it happens every year, right? Well, no, not so much. So I just remember our team being just mantled by what was the introduction to what they call Plan B free agency that offseason. And, man, everyone came plucking off our tree. And I think we came back with maybe half the team in 89 that we had in 88. And that's kind of how, that's what hit us.
Win or lose, I think a lot of Bengals fans would take a Super Bowl appearance at any moment in the future right now when you look at where they're at.
Yeah, you know, it was a fun ride, Lindsay. It was, this town was going bonkers. I just remember every week it was just bedlam. I mean, bedlam. And I just remember after the season, saying, I was like, I gotta get out of here. Like, it was just so much. I mean, I don't know, you know, it's just, I'm one of those guys, it's okay to have a little adulation. It was just, it got to be just total bedlam everywhere we went. We kind of needed a break from that. And now, yeah, I think all the players long for that. And I would love to see this city on fire again the way that it was during the season of 88.
We'll talk about another famous moment that a lot of fans, football fans in general, remember from Sam Wyche. They had the 30th anniversary, which is so crazy to think about that it was 30 years ago. I actually just talked to your former teammate, Stanford Jennings, about it. Were you surprised to see Sam take that mic and just say, hey, you don't live in Cleveland, you live in Cincinnati?
No, Sam was the kind of guy that, he led from the front. He didn't lead from the back of the room. He was an out front kind of guy. And I just remember when he did it, we would just laugh, and we were like, yep, that's them, you know. And I can't tell you how many times in practice that booming voice of his, he'd come yelling from the other side of the field. If he saw you doing something, or just maybe thought you were fooling around, you know, some of the writers doing practice, he didn't like that. He didn't like, you know, kind of goofing off doing practice. He wanted everyone paying attention. He would say that we're only going to be out here for an hour and a half. We move it, it's quick, but you know, the practice field is a classroom. We want your undivided attention. If there was someone who was talking while he was talking, who was moving around, oh man, he'd let you have it now. That big booming voice of his would just come echoing from behind some of these pine bushes, and the guy would just like light into whomever he needed to light into to get their attention. But for the most part, he was always about practical jokes, did magic tricks. He was really about making us laugh and making football fun. And he would tell us that this is a game and it should be fun. We work hard when it's time to work hard, but we enjoy the process and we enjoy the games. And he made it enjoyable for many of us as well.
Did you guys stay pretty close off the field?
You know, later, because I worked in broadcasting, and I was able to call him and talk to him a few times. Obviously, when I was running to him at golf tournaments, I worked at CBS after he had left, and I remember just talking with him in brief. I wouldn't say that we were extremely close, but we had a lot to talk about when we were in the presence of one another. I do remember calling him a few times down in Pickens, South Carolina, where he made his home. And I would talk to him, and I would ask him about his son, Zach, and talk to him about his grandson, and, you know, so, it's, you know, you like to think that you spend a lot more time together when it's all over, but the time we did share at the end, they were all very good, and he was always such an easy person to talk to, he really was.
Sam definitely was battling off the field after his coaching days, and a lot of people were hearing a lot of stories in the last 24 hours of how people remembered him. How do you think he should be remembered?
He should be remembered as an innovative coach who did things that teams today are doing as a mainstay some 30 years later. He should be remembered for a guy who helped groom quarterbacks as well as any, to the likes of Joe Montana, Tony Anderson, Boomer Esiason. He was one of the true early coaches of the West Coast offense under Bill Walsh. He was Bill Walsh's first assistant coach. And, you know, Bill Walsh ended up having to battle him for another Vince Lombardi trophy. He should be remembered for being a guy who cared about the people of Cincinnati, that to the point that when he coached here, he was always down at the free food store at the food bank serving the community on Thanksgiving Day. Every single Thanksgiving morning and Christmas morning, he was down there serving the community. That's what kind of guy he was. He was a guy that wasn't afraid to roll up his sleeves and say hello to the common man and be amongst them, but he could also walk amongst some of the great people that this sport has ever seen. And that's how we should remember him. He was a true leader, and he was a true innovator.
Solly, I can't thank you enough for taking time to join us.
Thank you for having me, Lindsay.